Yeah, we want to preview as many teams as we can over the course of the Big Sports Breakfast summer. And one of the teams that probably exceeded all expectations last year, I'm not sure whether they exceeded their coach's expectations, was the Gold Coast Titans. And their coach, Neil Henry, joins us on the line. G'day, Neil.
Morning, boys.
Is that right? Did you think you exceeded your expectations for last year?
Oh, look, I think we went okay. I mean, given the club, the background, the few issues we had. But
yes.
Everyone goes into the season and says you want to play finals football. And with the squad we had, I knew that if we played to our ability and improved in a few areas, we could get there. And we just got there, which was great for the club to make the finals for the first time in a number of years and great for our fans. But you always want to take the next step.
Now, I don't want to hark too much back to last year, but the referee's performance in the first week of the finals, you guys up against the Broncos, was called the worst refereeing performance in 40 years. How do you feel off the back of that game, Neil?
Oh, you have mixed emotions. I mean, it's certainly a bit of anger and a bit of disappointment initially, and then you eventually get over it. I mean, I suppose it's one of those things. It was, hard to explain. You didn't get any real answers other than, what can you put it down to? I mean, those sorts of errors that we saw in that game, and Tony Archer tried to come out and justify a couple of them, not to my satisfaction or a lot of our fans or our players, but they certainly had a big influence on the game. We still had our chances. I mean, in the end, we still were disappointing in a couple of areas, but look, it didn't certainly change the momentum a fair bit, and I don't know, you put it down to, pressure on officials or the crowd or the expectation about how a result will go. I mean, and I don't know. I'm not saying that this is refereeing that is biased. I'm just saying that, well, we really need to look at maybe there's something like some conscious bias that I know they do studies into. And I just asked Tony Archer, what are we doing about with referees that are to be able to help them actually so they're more consistent with their decision making.
In saying that, Jared Hayne drops a ball from the kickoff of the second half. And there's all those other things.
Yeah.
Hey, Neil, I want to ask you, 3-2 doesn't quite go. Ash Taylor, Kane Elgee and Tyrone Roberts, how do you, I mean, it's a good problem to have. Did you ever consider perhaps trading one and using up that space in your salary cap to bolster the side elsewhere?
Well, we thought that, last year, Kane Elgee hurt his knee first training after Christmas, and then obviously, we needed both halves, and Ash Taylor was seen as a bit of a project. So, coming out of the 20s, but coming out of a good system, and only had that one game for the Broncos, he injured his fingers. So, but he's really stepped up and exceeded expectations, I suppose. So now we're in the situation where we've got those three halves. But I see Tyrone Roberts, he's quite happy to be a utility as well. He'd love to play in the halves. That's his preferred position, but I see him as an opportunity to fill in and be a utility, maybe around that hooker role as well. Gives us a quick man, and he's big enough to handle that role, and certainly quick on his feet and got good hands and a good kicking game. So he could complement what Peachy's doing in there as well. So I just see it as depth, and really it works for us at the moment. Time will tell whether or not what we do with our halves. Long term, obviously. Kane Elgee and Ash Taylor are signed longer, but Tyrone's quite happy to fight for his place, and he loves living on the coast.
Right.
It was the signing coup of the year last year, obviously signing Jared Hayne and getting him in time for the finals. I've got a couple of questions. Were you surprised, and how do you manage all the hype and interest around Jared? And how's he been this off-season? How has he prepared physically, and what are you expecting from him this year?
Yeah, well, good questions. I mean, the hype is good.
Yeah.
It's good for the club. I mean, he puts bums on seats. He's a tremendous player. He's dabbled in his NFL over there and really achieved something amazing by able to get a start over there, by being able to be on a roster. That helps us here on the coast, competing with the Suns. It's also great corporately. And he just brings, it's like Conrad Hurrell, their personalities that bring people along to watch footy. So, in that perspective, in a marketing sense for us, it's great for us. On the talent side of it, I mean, that's where he's got to win games for us and play consistent footy. And he's certainly hasn't had a couple of pre-seasons, but he's enjoying the fact that he knows that there's a physical challenge for him. The game has moved.
Yes.
He's aware of that. He's aware of the modern-day fullback covering more ground.
and playing a role in the line a little bit more than they used to, and particularly the kicking games are improving. The sides run the ball a lot more now, so you really got to have a lot of backfield coverage. So he's adapting to that. He's enjoying life on the coast. You know, recently, as we know, just become a father, so there's a change up in his life, but he's training really well.
Will he strip lighter, given the fact he sounds like fullbacks is where you're going to play him, and you've noted the fact that they've got to do more work these days?
Yeah, he will. He's come back a bit heavy, and we're working on that, and he has dropped a couple of kilos, so I think you'll find him 4 or 5 kilos lighter than he played last season with no preparation. So
He'll
strip lighter, and certainly his football knowledge. He's very, very good with the younger players and talking about, you know, how he carries the ball and what he's looking for and what he's seeing, which is great. So I think he's going to have a good season.
I think one of the keys and one of the signs of a good coach and a good club is that they get improvement out of players. Zeb Taya, Ignatius Parsi, Liavaha Pulu, are guys who I'm sure you got great value out of during the course of this year. Was that the most pleasing or one of the most pleasing things about 2016, that the fact that these guys, I know Zeb Taya had been away and come back, but pretty much unheralded, and then they make a real impact on the competition, Neil?
Yeah, that's part of it. That's a satisfaction, and credit to, you know, Terry Madison, and Rowan Smith was here for most of the season, or half of the season, and to the guys in the strength and conditioning, to get them in physical shape to be able to compete and take that worry of the speed and the power and the endurance out of that. And the boys have worked hard and got some rewards. That's pleasing. Nathan Davis, another guy that stepped up as a big outside back from being down there at Parramatta and showed a bit of potential, and he'll look to build on last season as well. So it's great. We have got some young players. We've got a good mixture of young and old. I thought Brian James had a standout year. It was the first time he strung together so many matches and scoring a dozen tries as a front rower. So he's maturing and a real leader in the team.
You've certainly cleaned out some players, but there's one that you picked up who could be anything for you. Well, he's shown he is a superstar. Kevin Proctor from the Melbourne Storm. How what's his influence been like since he's got to the club?
Well, he turned up yesterday, first training run.
Right. Boom.
So he had a bit of, obviously, with that campaign with the Four Nations, had an extended break. And look, he's a coast boy, went to Palm Beach, Currumbin, so is his partner, and they're comfortable on the coast. But you're right, he's been 10 years in Melbourne in a system that's been extremely successful under Craig Bellamy. So he's certainly got some leadership in him, and he's a consistent footballer, an 80-minute player, and we'll look to him to lead on the field and off the field. So already training, he's slotted straight in. He worked hard over the last few weeks, so he's turned up in good shape as well. So, he wants to be here to finish his career, so it's great for the club.
Off the top of my head, I know that you had an ugly extra time golden point game against the Rabbitohs where I think there was about 7 or 8 field goal shots, and then of course they played the extra time in the semi-finals. Do you have a thought on that where golden point could go, Neil? What's your preference?
Oh, look, I'm a bit old school. I don't mind it being shared, you know, in the competition. I know we talked about, you know, having mixing up the extra time in the final scenario, so I know for the fans, for the audience out there watching, it's an exciting way to, you know, to finish off a game. But the players, it becomes just the referees put the whistles in their back pocket. Really, they don't want to be the reason for the result going one way, and it gets very messy, as we see. We're not blockers on kickers and people offside all the time. So
yeah,
I'm not sure about it. You've got to placate, you know, the people that come and pay the money to come through the turnstiles and get a result as well. So I'm not sure, boys.
We had Jason Taylor on the show last week, Neil, and he made a comment that actually stirred up a couple of the listeners about, because of the change in the interchange rule, that there's, you know, there's a bigger influence in a bigger focus in terms of training and, you know,
Physical preparation
ahead of football. Now, you're one of the great tacticians of the game. Is that something that sits uneasily with you, or is it just the way of the world, the way it's going to go?
Yeah, I'm not sure that the impact of reducing interchanges has been negated a bit by the head bin. You know, it's by, and rightly so, by duty of care for players, and if you get a knock on the head, you have to be assessed. And the way that's happening, I mean, there are a few knocks still, and when if that happens, well, there's two free interchanges. I mean, you know, again, it swung the other way in some game, just through you having a few knocks and the guys do recover, and you might end up, you probably have 12 interchanges, you know, if you get a couple of those as well, and the guys are right to come back on the field. To me, I think that to even that out a little bit, I think that, and Trent Robinson was one that sort of mooted this at the coaches' meeting, that when you have a headwind, that you get a free interchange to start off with, but when that player comes back on, and don't put a time limit on it, it costs you an interchange on the way back. That way, I think that might you know, even things out a little bit. To me, I don't think it's made a huge difference at the moment with how the game's played. I mean, I know that we're stripping weight off some players as well. I think the game naturally is faster and physical. It seems to, you know, the skills astound me, you know, every year. It's a great quality game.
Mm.
And I think you're finding that, you know, the forwards, you need to generate a good mixture of, you know, aerobic capacity and power. So I think we have stripped a bit of weight off the players in the last couple of seasons.
Should it go further?
Look, hard one. I'm all for the small man, the little guys in
yeah.
the game. I don't know if you know, leaving players out a bit more is going to increase the potential for injury. I don't know if there's solid evidence to show that. I don't think that, if anything, I think we'll reduce some of the injuries through good management. I think the recovery techniques are fantastic nowadays, so you're seeing players in the game a lot longer.
Yep.
And the quality of these older players. I mean, these Cameron Smiths and the Jonathan Thurstons are playing sensational football.
Yeah.
So, you know, post-30. So the game's in a healthy spot, I think, but you need to keep the little players involved, and that's right down to grassroots. You know, you need to have a place for them, and we need to look at ways of doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Neil, big season coming up. Best of luck for it, and we really appreciate your time this morning.
Pleasure to be.